Welcome in, everybody. Welcome into the Fantasy Phenoms podcast. It is Wednesday, August 26th, 2020. Year's flying by. 15 days now until kickoff. It's coming up, guys. Get your drafts ready. It's draft season. We're in the middle of it. Justin Herforth here with Andrew Cook. Make sure you follow us on social media. You can follow the podcast at the FF Phenoms on Twitter. You can follow myself, Justin, at Justin Herforth. You can follow Andrew at Phenom AC. Andrew, how are we doing today?
We're doing pretty good. It's kind of warm in my room that I'm in right now, but I will survive and I will power through and I will bring you these top wide receiver rankings.
Yeah, Andrew, like, foreshadowed this a little bit, but today is our wide receiver ranking show. We're going to give you the top 10 receivers to get you set for your drafts. We're going to mention a couple guys who just missed that top 10 for us for our consensus. So we'll be probably giving you a top 12 today. So little bit of bonus action for you guys. Before we jump into that, some news around the NFL. I know you guys have probably been on top of this, so we're going to give you the update with this. So the big thing is a few early round running backs or early to mid round running backs have been going down with some injuries. So a few notable names that have been really in the news of late, Miles Sanders, Kenyon Drake, Chris Carson. And now as of today, a couple hours ago, as of this recording, David Montgomery went down with an injury. We thought it was the end of the world for Montgomery, but it looks like he's going to be okay. Andrew, what do you make of all these like new or old injuries that are really popping up right now?
Yeah, I mean, this just clearly shows the whole issue of not having preseason here and the importance of drafting a lot of running backs when you go into your fantasy draft, because running backs are going to get hurt frequently. And if you're able to, you know, so let's say one of your top guys gets hurt here, Miles Sanders, Kenyon Drake, they could easily be your RB1. You need to have a guy that's going to be able to step in and at least provide some sort of value in terms of points, even if that's only 10 points on a weekly basis. So it's really important to stock up on those running backs when you're drafting, because this is what we're seeing. This is a common theme, is these running backs are getting hurt. Granted, they're minor injuries, but it is something to keep an eye on and make sure you draft those RBs.
Yeah, Andrew is definitely the resident person for loading up on running back early and often in fantasy drafts. Andrew, what's your normal strategy when it comes to selecting these guys?
Yeah, honestly, normally for running back, I know we will talk about wide receiver. Most of the time I want to come out of the first and second round with, well, all the time I want at least one running back. I really don't go double wide receiver. I want at least one running back, but most of the time I honestly go double running back. The only scenario where I wouldn't go double running back is maybe if you're picking around 1, 2, or 3, because you already have an elite running back there and you probably have some good value in terms of wide receiver or tight end. Justin in particular is picking at the number 2 spot in our draft. And in the mocks, we've done a couple mocks together and he hasn't really taken a running back at that 2 spot very often. So
in the second round.
In the second round, yeah.
First round.
At the number 2 pick, yes, take a running back. Take Saquon Barkley or Zeke if McCaffrey's gone. But, yeah, honestly, load up on the running backs. First round, second round, at least grab one. And I would recommend at least 2 early on, but teach them.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it all depends where your pick lies. You don't want to force taking your running back if the value isn't there. Obviously, you play the board. And if you play the board, you come back like round 3, round 4, you look to select another one as well. It is the most important position. You need to make sure that you really do stock up, because injuries like this, I don't think they're going to go away anytime soon with the lack of practice and preseason games, no OTAs. It's these guys getting back into playing shape and injuries are bound to happen, so you need to have those contingency plans in place right now, especially. So, yeah, I think we're going to transition now into our wide receiver rankings. We're going to start off with the number 1. And, Andrew, I feel like this is a pretty obvious pick.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to go Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, don't overthink it, just like Christian McCaffrey at the number 1 running back position. Michael Thomas, absolutely no-brainer. Last year, he was phenomenal, catching 149 passes on 185 targets for, like, catching a whopping 80.5%. And he also broke Marvin Harrison's record for most receptions in a single season, which Marvin Harrison had 144, a number that seemed almost unattainable. Michael Thomas pretty much shattered that, and in a pretty alarming rate as well. So don't overthink it. No matter what format you're in, PPR, standard, you're going to look to take Michael Thomas as the first wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't much debate here. The only argument you could make against Michael Thomas, I guess, is maybe Drew Brees is getting older if you're trying to bet against him. But it's just not really even a good argument. Even when Michael Thomas doesn't have a good quarterback, he still produces. So this is the number one wide receiver in fantasy for a reason. He's going to get a ton of targets. He's their red zone guy. So draft Michael Thomas. Now, I guess we can note this is Michael Thomas always goes in the first round. So at least in every single draft that I've done, every mock draft, Michael Thomas has gone in the first round. So where are you comfortable taking him, Justin? Because we know, as I mentioned, we prefer to take running backs in the first round. So when do you make that cutoff for Michael Thomas?
So I know that obviously the first, so obviously you're going to go like Saquon, McCaffrey, whatever order you want, like McCaffrey, Saquon, Zeke. Obviously you're going to take like a Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara. So obviously there's five right there. Then like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So that's number six, probably around that seven is where I'm going to start considering it. Probably set pick seven, pick eight. I think that's that sweet spot where I'm looking to take Thomas. But like, you don't want to pass up that running back value in round one, because if you're in a 12-team league there, that's a long time for you to wait. And especially around that turn, there's a lot of really high-quality guys that could potentially be going there. So I think if you're still going to get that running back in round two, I think that seven or eight spot is still a pretty safe spot to take Thomas and still get that guy around the bend.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would say, I think there's an argument to be made to go, I would say six. I think I might say six. At least full PPR-wise, Michael Thomas is going to be a beast. So I don't mind taking him at six ahead of Edwards-Helaire. However, those other five running backs that we mentioned, I would rather have them. But Michael Thomas, if you want to take a wide receiver first round, that's perfectly fine. Michael Thomas would be the main guy to take. Just, I would highly emphasize taking a running back that second round then. So let's go into the consensus wide receiver two. We have Devontae Adams here. And honestly, this is pretty universal as well when you look at other people's rankings. Devontae Adams, he's locked and loaded as Aaron Rodgers' main guy. Aaron Rodgers really only produces one relevant fantasy wide receiver a year. They've been battling for competition for that wide receiver two spot for what feels like the past 3 years after Randall Cobb left. So Devontae Adams is very safe. His current ADP right now is around the end of the first round, middle to first round. So do you feel comfortable taking him in the first, Justin, or are you pretty much looking second for Adams? How do you feel?
Yeah, so I think it's more or less how the board shakes out. And if you're in a 12-team league, I would say probably that back end there, like probably like where you're picking in our fantasy draft, Andrew, like that 11, that 12 range.
Yeah.
If the running backs do go early and often, take the value on the board. Adams is a tremendous value, and I think he's a game changer for your roster. So I wouldn't really pass on him to get like that second tier guy, would you go Joe Mixon there at the end or Devontae Adams?
Yeah, see, I actually get this chance a lot in my drafts, and what I end up doing is I actually end up taking the running back, because a lot of the time I have Devontae Adams as an option, and I still want to go double running back because of just how good those wide receivers are in the third and fourth. I mean, we're talking about this. Well, this is kind of spoiler for later, but four of the wide receivers that we'll be talking about today are going in the third and fourth round, and they made our top 10. So this just tells you that, like, there's a big, big, big wide selection of wide receivers that you can take. So personally, I'm going double running back, even if Adams falls to me, unless there's completely like the running backs available. Maybe if it's like still Eckler or Aaron Jones, then I wouldn't, but otherwise I'm going running back.
Yeah, I can't like fault you there at all for like wanting to go running back. I think people have like different preferences, like what they're looking for there. You really can't go wrong if you do go like that running back there, go Devontae. If you're able to snag Devontae Adams in round two, though, that is a steal, and I would jump on that 10 times out of 10. So it all just depends how your fellow league mates do draft. This is why you do need to pay attention and just kind of play the board there. Don't force anything. So if you somehow do see Devontae Adams in round two, make sure you get him.
Yep, 100% agreed. And our next spot here at three is where we differ in rankings. I'll just say who I have, and I can kind of explain why I have him ranked there. I have DeAndre Hopkins ranked at wide receiver three. Justin has Julio Jones. Julio Jones does end up coming in at our consensus three, but I have Hopkins ranked there just because I worry about Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones splitting the touchdowns and targets. Hopkins could split with Christian Kirk, but I don't see that being quite as large of a split there. Christian Kirk will get some volume, but I'm not as worried as I am with a guy like Calvin Ridley, who could easily break out this year. And I see the offenses is pretty equal. I think they're both going to be really successful. So I'm just taking Hopkins, who I think could see more targets. That's my personal preference. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so I don't dislike DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, he's probably one of the top three talented receivers in all of football at this point. It just comes down to new scheme, new team, new quarterback, and the fact there's no offseason whatsoever. So he's just going in there, guns a-blazing, hasn't really been able to pick up the playbook, get that chemistry with Kyler. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time, and there might be a few growing pains there in the very beginning. But obviously, the talent's there. I think talent overcomes all. I just think it might take a couple weeks to get to that point where he was at the end of the season last year in Houston, which is why I feel a little bit more secure with Julio Jones, because you know what you're getting at this point. He's been a top-flight receiver basically every single year of his entire career, and I don't see that changing this year at all. Obviously, you see Austin Hooper leave. Mohamed Sanu's not there anymore. There are targets to be filled, and I think a lot of those looks are going to go to Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. So even with the addition of Hayden Hurst in there, I don't think that's going to take too much away from Julio, and I think he's still going to be that top flight guy, which is why I feel extremely safe with him as my number three.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have him at the four, so this is just kind of you're picking between who you'd rather have here. Who would you say which player has the higher ceiling to you? I would say Hopkins, but who do you think has the higher ceiling?
I think just because of the offense, I think Hopkins does have the higher ceiling, but I think the floor is also lower.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm looking for more of a security guy, one guy I know is going to be there almost week in and week out, and that guy's Julio. I think
we saw what happened with Odell, when he switched quarterbacks.
So there's a lot of similarities between the off seasons from this past off season with Arizona and the one in 2018 with Cleveland. So a lot of similarities in that regard, but obviously two completely different circumstances, different coach. And I think there's actually a competent coach in Cliff Kingsbury, Freddie Kitchens. He's kind of an idiot about it.
His last name's Kitchens. Why is he coaching football? He should have went into culinary. He could have went into is that culinary?
Yeah.
Bakery?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I don't know if culinary is the same thing.
Yeah, it's all in the same same family.
So why is Freddie Kitchens in football? That's the true question. He should be in the kitchen.
I mean, he did have a baker on his team, so
that is weird. Never thought about that.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Well, I mean, either way. We're not predicting Odell levels of downfall for Hopkins.
No.
It's important to keep in mind.
Yeah, I think Hopkins has much more of a level head than Odell does. He puts his head down. He works. So I think he's really going to come out on top, and I think he's going to be a very high-value wide receiver come season end. So I have no worries about DeAndre Hopkins at all. I was looking for more of that security with Julio. I have Hopkins at my number five. And I think he's also our consensus four as well. So we'll talk about Hopkins a little bit. If you have anything else to add on DeAndre?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much more to add. I think we kind of touched on both guys. They're solid wide receiver ones. You can't really go wrong here. It's just going to come down, as Justin said, Hopkins higher ceiling, but he is a riskier pick. For example, let's say that you pick around that 11 or 12. If you want to go a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, I would pair him with a safer running back. I would say like maybe Josh Jacobs is your RB1, DeAndre Hopkins. I think that would be pretty solid. I would not want to go. Obviously, you can't go Kenyon if you take Hopkins, but I don't think I'd want to go a guy like maybe Miles Sanders and Hopkins. I'd be kind of worried. That's kind of a bit of risk there. But yeah, Hopkins is a good pick.
Just looking at the ADPs then, like Hopkins is sitting around 10, Julio Jones sitting around 15. So if you are kind of trying to map things out there, that's kind of where these guys stand for their average draft position.
And I've seen Julio fall too. So he occasionally falls in some mocks that I've done.
Yeah, like if I somehow see him, if he somehow makes it back half of the second round, I'll be more than happy to like scoop him up.
Yeah, and this next guy, I think we could talk about, I think you should talk about him the most here because Justin may actually have the chance to take this person in our draft that will be happening this Sunday. Stay alert on our Twitter here because it's possible we'll be doing an episode breaking down our draft and kind of analyzing how it went. So stay alert for that. But this next guy is Chris Godwin. We have him at our wide receiver 5. He seems like a very, very, very safe pick. I mean, you have Tom Brady, who's just going to be like, he's not going to throw a bunch of deep balls. If he does, they're probably going to go to Mike Evans. But Godwin, the mid and short distance, this just seems like a lock for fantasy success this year.
Yeah, and Chris Godwin, I think I think he's one of the top 5 route runners in all of football. So the separation he creates just from his route running is second to none. And I think that's going to make a huge difference having Tom Brady at the helm compared to Jameis Winston. I feel there were quite a bit of targets last year that just went right over his head. He had no chance at getting. So I would say there's going to be an uptick in actual catchable passes for Chris Godwin. And the targets were there last year. He had only one game below 6 targets. So that consistency is there week in and week out. And you've seen the blow-up games from him as well. He's a week-winning talent. He's also extremely safe. So high floor, high ceiling. If you're able to get him, make sure you do. His ADP is sitting around like pick 17 so far. If you're sitting at that back half of the second round, make sure you pick him up. Don't feel like any sort of way about, oh, I should get a running back. No, you play the board at this point. You pick up Chris Godwin, and you're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I would much rather have Chris Godwin than reach on a guy like Aaron Jones and just hope that he has upside because while I do still go by the strategy of getting those running backs, when you have a guy like Godwin, it's such safe points, and that can provide that stable wide receiver 1 to your team. You need to go out and grab that. But also, I wanted to note, this is a prime example here of, we have him as our wide receiver 5, and he goes in the middle of the second round. And I want to compare here, the running back rankings, we have Joe Mixon as our RB10. I don't have Mixon's ADP up right now, but in all the mocks that I've done, you can pull it up. Mixon goes right around that turn, maybe even in the middle round there, and we have him as our RB10.
On NFL.com, Mixon's going, his ADP is sitting around 18, which that I think like that's pretty mind-blowing. He's our RB10, and he's going that late in drafts. And Chris Godwin, he's our number 5, and he's going around the same time. So it just kind of goes to show there, this like fantasy draft for 2020 is very RB heavy in the beginning. So you need to make sure you get those guys, but while still also valuing those top tier wide receivers.
Agreed. And over to our consensus sixth pick. We have Tyreek Hill. We both have him ranked at 6 here. And in PPR, Tyreek Hill can be kind of scary to draft because he reminds me of like this Amari Cooper wide receiver who's going to have these bust games. And that worries me. Do you see Tyreek Hill ending up on any of your teams this year, Justin?
See, it's so difficult. Like, I love Tyreek Hill as a player. It's just so difficult for me because I know he is that very high upside guy, but he can also lose you a week at the same time from not getting that production. It depends on how my drafts fall and where the value is in getting him. If I see him in round 3 and I have 2 like very like safe running backs, or like a safe running back and a high quality wide receiver, and the board falls just right, sure, I'll take Tyreek Hill there. But other than that, I don't see myself taking him personally. I think other people will kind of see that otherwise. Like, Hill's just a very risky player to take in general because he's a smaller guy. he can get knocked out of games. And we saw him get knocked out in week one, didn't come back until week six. So he missed a very long stretch of that fantasy season. And at that point, a lot of fantasy owners, they had to pivot. They had to trade him away, or they just stood pat, and they probably lost a few weeks as a result of that. So it's a very like boom bust pick there.
Yeah, I would say the scenario where I do like drafting him is if you start out, let's say that you start out running back and maybe you get a guy like Dalvin Cook, or if you get Zeke at three and somehow Hill falls to you back there.
See, I would love that.
That would be good. And then if you can pair him up with a wide receiver that's very stable, like a guy that we might talk about later, Robert Woods, or any other wide receiver that's going to get a ton of targets, I think that would be really good. So you have your stable wide receiver, and then you got your boom bust guy, and you have your locked and loaded RB1. I think that's the ideal scenario for Hill.
Completely agreed. Yeah, I think like some of those like PPR safe guys, like if you want to wait a little bit longer on receivers, then you could go like someone like a Keenan Allen going in like round four, round five, or even like a Julian Edelman. Just those guys who eat targets, they get those short to intermediate receptions and just kind of get those fantasy points that way. Just to kind of give you that stability in your roster, where if Tyreek Hill does pop off one week, you're going to win your week automatically.
Yeah, and let's move to our next guy. This guy is much more stable than Tyreek Hill. This is Kenny Golladay. He is a very great player. He's a good player. The questions just come down to the offense. How is it going to be this year? We know the running back situation is up in the air at this point with DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson. How do you think this offense is going to go this year? Do you think Golladay is going to be perfectly fine? Is there any risk there?
I mean, there's always risk involved. Matthew Stafford is at the helm still. He looks to be healthy. That's the biggest thing. It comes down to Matthew Stafford's health. Even though he wasn't healthy for about half the season last year, Kenny Golladay still posted extremely strong numbers, which no one really expected. I know you traded for him. I think you traded for him like right as Stafford went down. And there were a few games you're like, do I play him? Like it's rough. I think you played him on Thanksgiving. He caught like two long bombs at that point. Yep. He's a jump ball machine. He is extremely versatile down the field. So I feel extremely good about taking Golladay, especially at his value. He's typically going like end of round two, into round three. So I feel extremely good about getting him there. If he's your third pick, even better. So you're able to get those two running backs, get that running back, very good wide receiver, get Kenny Golladay as well as your wide receiver two. And if he's your wide receiver two, you're in a very, very good spot.
Yeah, Kenny Golladay is not a pick that a lot of people talk about, honestly, because he doesn't really have the flash of a guy like Tyreek Hill or the upside of some of the really elite wide receivers. But yet he still kind of goes that high, so it's a little weird. But Kenny Golladay just provides kind of a safety blanket for your wide receiver one spot in the fact that he's going to get a lot of targets and receptions. He's in an offense that, honestly, they could easily be losing the game, and they're just going to have to throw the ball up to him. They did that a bunch of times last year. So I would be perfectly fine with Golladay as my wide receiver one.
Completely agreed.
And let's go to our consensus eight then. How do you feel about our eighth-ranked wide receiver here, Justin?
Yeah, so it's Allen Robinson of the Chicago Bears, and I really do think that Allen Robinson is very much underappreciated. People see he's on the Chicago Bears and like, oh, God, Mitchell Trubisky, his numbers are going to be terrible. Allen Robinson's going to be terrible. False. He's not going to be terrible. He was an absolute machine at the end of the season. From weeks 12 through 17, he only had one game with less than 10 targets, and that was in week 14 against the Cowboys, where he had 22 fantasy points still. He had 8 targets in that game. His lowest game in that entire stretch, he had 11.3 in week 16 against Kansas City, which we all know Kansas City, week 16, that's where they were starting to hit their stride finally. So I'm not going to really hold that against him there. Allen Robinson, absolute machine there. He had 3 straight weeks of over 20 points. So if you're getting him, you're getting him prior on the same time you're getting Kenny Golladay. I've seen a lot of cases where those two go back to back. So you can interchange them however you wish. I think Allen Robinson is as almost as safe as they come there. The targets, they're going to come because he is one of the best route runners, has some of the best hands in all of football. And I just think he is very much underappreciated.
And so if you're choosing between Golladay and Robinson, do you see that as any sort of team dependent, or are you pretty much just all in on Golladay? I would guess Robinson might even be the safer play because he gets hyper targeted, and Galladay does have to compete with Marvin Jones and even TJ Hockenson now. So how do you feel about the decision between Galladay and Robinson?
Yeah, so I think it's almost up to a coin flip at this point. It's pretty close between those two. If you are looking for more of that security, I do think Allen Robinson might be the guy there, but I think Kenny Galladay has more of that explosivity in his game where he can really break out for you. And the numbers don't really show that from last year with Galladay, but that's because they did not have any sort of quarterback. I would take Mitchell Trubisky in a heartbeat over what the Detroit Lions had to endure last year.
Who was the quarterback last year?
I think it was David Blau.
Yeah. Wasn't he the quarterback on Thanksgiving Day?
He was. He was. And you were terrified to start Kenny Galladay. He still came for you. So just kind of envision that, but having Matthew Stafford. So those targets are going to be very much high quality compared to that. And I feel extremely good about both of these guys. It comes down to what you're looking for in your roster.
And let's go into our consensus 9 wide receiver. This is another spot where Justin and I do differ. I have DJ Moore ranked there, which is our consensus 9 wide receiver. Mm-hmm. However, Justin has Juju Smith-Schuster there. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll let you speak about Juju before we get on DJ Moore. Why did you decide to put Juju at 9?
So the big thing with Juju, people are going to say, oh, Juju, he had a really bad year. Isn't he terrible? No. He is not terrible. He is still a very, very good football player. It came like what the situation was last year. He had two very, very poor quarterbacks at the helm. He had Mason Rudolph, the man who got hit in the head with a helmet by Myles Garrett. And also he had Duck Hodges at quarterback. So not
they're elite quarterbacks, right?
Almost. They're borderline, I think.
Yeah.
They're not quite there, but I think they're going to break through someday. But Juju Smith-Schuster, we saw weeks 1 through 3. He was very, very good, even week 5 against Baltimore. Then we kind of saw him fall off a cliff after week 8, which is when the quarterback play really got poor. Mason Rudolph was fine until about that point after that bye week. Then kind of just the wheels fell off, and it was just a bad situation for Juju. Part of the problem was the Steelers had him playing on the outside quite a bit, where we all know he is better in the slot, which we saw quite a bit in his first couple years with Antonio Brown there as well, where they primarily had Juju in the slot. And also the emergence of Deontay Johnson absolutely helps the situation. Having him on the outside, Juju's back in the slot now. Big Ben's at the helm. And I think for sure he's being slept on. And the fact that you're able to get him where you are, typically in that round 3 range, or maybe sometimes even round 4 in a few mocks I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's an extraordinary value. And I just wanted to instill some confidence in people who are listening that if he's there, you don't shy away from taking him. Don't read in too much of what happened last year, because I do think that it's kind of a fluke season because his talent is off the charts. If you watch the game film, Juju, he's open 9 times out of 10. He's winning his matchup. It just came down to the quarterback not being able to get him the football, which that's not Juju's fault. He can't play quarterback and receiver. So having that competent quarterback in Ben there, it's going to help him extraordinarily.
Yeah, I oftentimes, since I do have the 12th pick, I have a chance to take Juju. And one of the problems is I just look at these other guys around him. People like DJ Moore and any of these other wide receivers, like the Rams wide receivers. And I just see them as much more stable. I really don't see any risk there. And so taking Juju as a wide receiver 1 is just a little risky to me. I love him as a wide receiver 2. Wide receiver 1, though, just based on past performance, I worry a little. I don't think he's going to be that bad, but I just don't, as you noted before, I don't like a ton of risk. And, you know, Juju, he's a good pick, but he's just not going to be my number 1 wide receiver, at least this year. And let's talk about DJ Moore now. DJ Moore is, this easily could be the best season of his career coming up. He has Teddy Bridgewater, and Teddy Bridgewater is a competent quarterback. They gave him a good amount of money to come in, throw the ball.
I hope
he
so.
He might. Yeah, hopefully he stays on the field. I hope Teddy Bridgewater can make it through the season. Doesn't have any injury problems. Otherwise, DJ Moore, you know, may suffer a little bit, but Moore is consistent. Target-based wide receiver. Curtis Samuel really isn't that big of a threat, honestly. He could have had a really good year last year, and he just didn't. Do you have any concerns about DJ Moore, or are you happy to draft him as your wide receiver one?
Yeah, I am pretty satisfied drafting him as my number one, but obviously the same kind of situation as, not the quite the same situation, but pretty similar to DeAndre Hopkins. Having a different quarterback, no offseason, that's going to maybe kind of result in a slow start, but I do think DJ Moore and Teddy Bridgewater will get on the same page relatively quickly, and the talent's absolutely there for DJ Moore. I traded for him very early on last year, and I got some. I sadly traded him away. I took a shot on Juju last year, which is when the injuries happened, and not my best decision. But DJ Moore is extremely talented. Had 135 targets, which really bodes well. He was a target machine that back half of the year. He had 1,175 yards, and he only had 4 touchdowns last year. DJ Moore finished last season as the wide receiver 16. If his touchdown total goes up to that 8 to 10 range, which I think he has a talent to absolutely get to that point, he, look at him as a top 10 receiver, locked and loaded. So make sure you go get him.
Yeah, I'm excited about DJ Moore this year. I will draft him if he does fall to me. He usually doesn't fall to me when I'm at that pick, that third pick of having the 12th pick overall. What would that be, 36? Yeah, that 36 pick there. He usually isn't there for me, but if he is, I always take him. Then let's go into our consensus 12. 10. We're at 10. If you guys don't know,
top 10 episode, dude.
When you count, it goes 9, then 12. That's actually how it goes.
I'm going to listen to you. You're the educator in this podcast.
Yes,
so.
I am a teacher. Listen to me. The numbers have changed. But at number 10, we have Robert Woods. This is Justin actually doesn't have him in his top 10, but he has him just outside. This spot could honestly be Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp. I just have Robert Woods. We can get into the debate here of which you prefer. I have Robert Woods because he's going to be on the field more often in those two tight end sets that they run, and I think he's much more safe. He doesn't have the upside of Cooper Kupp because Kupp has much more touchdown upside, but as a wide receiver one, I want Woods. If I'm going wide receiver two, I'll take Kupp most likely, but wide receiver one, I want Woods for the safety and knowing he's going to be on the field for over 90% of snaps.
Yeah, I think he is extremely safe. I think he is also – he's been extremely undervalued probably the last 3 seasons. So I'm hoping they finally give him his due in the fantasy world pretty soon because he's more than due for that. I have him probably at number 12. I'm still flip-flopping between Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. My only selling point with Cooper Kupp is he is that number one guy. He is Jared Goff's security blanket. If things break down – he's looking for number 10 on that roster, and Kupp's been his guy for the last couple seasons. I don't really see that changing anytime soon. And even with that 12 personnel, you're going to still see Cooper Kupp on the field with Robert Woods. So that concern's not really there for me as well. If there was 3 wide receiver sets last year with Brandon Cooks in the mix as well, then I would be a little bit more concerned. But with him out of town, I think both of these guys, no matter what order you have, I think they're both locked and loaded, ready to go.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong. There is some injury risk with Cooper Kupp. Not as much for Robert Woods, but either way, these are really solid wide receiver twos if you can draft them as that. Wide receiver ones, they're still good as well. But this is like basically a perfect wide receiver two. If you can get another wide receiver one, say earlier in your draft, you want to come around in the 4th round, grab one of these guys, that's perfect. I love that combo. That's basically Robert Woods there for you. Cooper Kupp, as we mentioned, we have him at our consensus 12. Cooper Kupp he's going to be a great guy. Honestly, I've met him personally, so I know he's a great guy.
Really?
Hang out with him every... Yeah, yeah.
What did you guys do?
Well, we went and got food, and then he gave me a cup, and I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. You gave me a cup.
Did it say Cooper on it?
No, it didn't.
Why
would you think that? That doesn't even make any sense. It's not even like his name's Cooper.
I think he said we went to dinner with Cooper Kupp. Did you say Robert Woods?
No, I said Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp's name is Kupp.
Yeah, you put Cooper on the cup.
No, that just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work, okay?
I think you're wrong there, buddy, but okay.
Well, Cooper is a really nice guy, and he's going to be good for your fantasy roster. Along with this next guy that Justin did mention, Juju does come in at our consensus 11. Do you have any other sleepers that you want to mention here that you can draft? You know, I'd say probably fourth round wide receivers.
Yeah, so obviously Tyler Lockett's one guy there from the Seattle Seahawks. He's extremely undervalued from his performance last year. He had a very bad leg bruise, that's what they called it. I think it was week 10 against San Francisco. They had the bye then, and they came back. He came back to play that next game in Philly against the Eagles. He really didn't perform from weeks 10 through week probably 13 at that point. He didn't play really at all. And he still finished the season as the wide receiver 13. He's Russell Wilson's guy. This offense ticks with Tyler Lockett. Those two are basically, they're one. Their minds are one. If we're anything like Russell Wilson, this combination could be Mr. Unlimited. If you've seen Russell Wilson's very cringy Twitter video, the sky's the limit for Tyler Lockett. You need to make sure you scoop him up, because I think he is very much undervalued. His ADP is sitting around pick 46 in drafts, so make sure you do scoop him up if he's there.
Yeah, I've even seen DK Metcalf go ahead of him, which is
still kind of confuses me, because that production really hasn't been there to kind of warrant picking Metcalf over Lockett. I think people are just kind of looking at them standing next to each other like, yep, give me the big guy. I'll take him.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, obviously, Metcalf, honestly, I don't even think Metcalf has, he has more upside in the sense that he could turn out and be a high, like an elite wide receiver. But I don't know if he has more week-to-week upside, though, because Lockett hits those deep balls and he can easily pop off for like over 20 points a week. I think Metcalf has more upside in terms of consistency and becoming a true, mm-hmm. like, number one wide receiver. But week-to-week upside, I like Lockett, actually.
Yeah, like looking at Metcalf's season, he had plenty of upside there. A lot of games in double digits. Let me count how many he had in single. He only had five games in single digits. Every other one is double digits plus. He had, I think, two or three 20-point performances. So the consistency is starting to come for DK there. I'm assuming he's going to take another step forward. We saw him perform very well in the playoffs last year. So I'm expecting a leap forward in year two for DK, which I think that's kind of what is really transpiring there in these draft boards.
Yeah, another guy I mentioned, Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen falls to like the fifth round in a lot of drafts, and I don't understand it. He's the number one wide receiver. Of course, his quarterback's Tyrod Taylor, but this is Keenan Allen. He's one of the best wide receivers in football, and in terms of PPR, he's going to get a lot of targets, especially with the Mike Williams injury. I love Keenan Allen this year for where he's being drafted. Do I think he's going to be an elite top 10 wide receiver? Probably not, because of his quarterback, but he's still a really good flex option if you can draft him as that. Also, another guy I'll throw in there, T.Y. Hilton. He's pretty disrespected in the drafts as well. I don't like him as, honestly, a wide receiver one or two, but if you can grab him as a flex guy, I think he's really good. Just throw him out there for, you know, they're playing against a bad defense. Hilton could go off. You never know.
Yeah, I also want to throw Terry McLaurin out there for the Washington football team. Extraordinary talent. He is the number one guy there. I'd feel extremely good if you were able to scoop him up as your wide receiver too. Kind of like I see him and DJ Chark kind of in that same threshold there. A very undervalued offense. People see the team and it's like, ugh, I don't want to be anywhere near that.
Yeah.
So they kind of slide down the draft boards. And if either of those guys are there, make sure you scoop them up, because the target share is 100% there for both of these guys. And although the quarterback play isn't the top tier that you're going to get for some of these other teams, but the target share is there, which is all that matters. And you're likely going to see some garbage time in these games, which for fantasy, it doesn't matter if it's garbage time or not. The points still count.
Yeah, those are the main wide receivers I have my eye on. Is there any other ones you want to mention besides those?
Not for the most part. Calvin Ridley, obviously, for the Falcons. He's another guy who's really primed for a breakout season, too. So if you're not able to get Julio in that second round, don't fret. You can get Calvin Ridley probably around four or so.
Yeah, I'd throw Diggs out there as well as a last, just for his value. But that does it for our top 10 wide receivers, basically top like 16 if you talk about all the ones that we broke down. But if you guys have any questions, reach out to us on Twitter. Our Twitter is at the FF Phenoms. Justin is at Justin Herforth. Mine's at Phenom AC. Feel free to ask us, you know, take a picture of your draft. Let us know what pick you have, what you want to do. Do you think you should go wide receiver in the first round, grab two running backs, anything like that? And then, Justin, you want to kind of I mentioned this earlier, but what are we considering doing with our draft coming up?
Yeah, so our fantasy draft is this coming Sunday, so about 5 days from now. And what we're looking to do, we're possibly going to be doing a kind of like a combination show between like this show and actually my other podcast. It's called the J-Cast with a couple of those guys on there. So kind of like a combination podcast, kind of breaking down what like our fantasy draft is, answering if you guys have any questions, submit those questions for us. We'll answer them on there. And really just kind of like break down draft strategy and everything with that, because obviously next week is draft week. You're going to see a lot of teams really starting to form at that point. So we're going to look to have that asset for you there. Listen to the podcast. Get those any of those last second questions answered.
It's an exciting time to be a fantasy football fan. We're finally getting to some football. Hopefully everyone plays. And we appreciate you guys listening. As mentioned before, check us out on the socials. And we will catch you next time. Later, guys.